Hello and good afternoon and welcome to Natural Co-Creators. And today I have with me John von Neuding. Hello John, how are you today?
Hello Jennifer, I'm really very well and it's a beautiful day. It's been really sunny and I've been in the town of Utrecht at a student concert in the early part of the afternoon. And now I'm with you, so that's really cool.
Right, that's terrific. And whereabouts is that town?
Utrecht is one of the big cities, actually, in the centre of Holland. I've been working and almost living in Holland for about 3 years now. And it's a really interesting, very conscious place, lots of conscious people around. I put it down to the water. There's lots of fresh water around in Holland, as people probably know, all those dikes and canals and rivers. And I think it helps. There may be other reasons, of course. But.
Certainly. So you're from Suffolk, or you've lived in Suffolk a number of years?
I've lived in Suffolk for 14 years. And before that, I lived in Kent. And I was born in the Southern Hemisphere in South Africa. And when I was a child, I came to England, and I didn't like the weather. And it wasn't considered a great place by my parents to bring me up in South Africa because my dad was pretty active against the nationalists, the ones who created apartheid. Right. And so he didn't feel it was a good place to bring up a young family.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's curious because I'm one of these people that sees parallel realities.
Yeah.
And I'm very much aware of another one that's carried on with me living in South Africa all this time because I'm coming up to my 61st birthday next month. So.
Right, that's incredible. So you were involved with numerology while you were in England and you did numerology for 17 years, is that right?
Well, it's probably a bit longer than that. I think it's now about 23 years, maybe even...
All right.
23 years. When I met my partner and wife, Elaine, she introduced me to numerology and I've quickly made a very strong connection with it. It's briefly, for those of you who don't know, it's the study of the vibrational matrix that numbers have, and in relation to us as individuals, it's the name we give ourselves at birth. I say we give ourselves because I believe we as individual souls give ourselves the name that we somehow transfer to our parents. And that name, combined with the actual birth date, which creates a life path, determines quite a lot of potentials within our energetic matrix. And of course, it's up to us whether we want to follow that energetic matrix, or as we increase our consciousness, we can move further into a quantum state of realities, and we can rise. Don't necessarily like the word rise, but we can transcend the original matrix that we're born with.
Yeah, moving out of those energies that have kept us in 3D to a place which is more
so
quantum related, where you have choice and power in your decisions.
Exactly.
Is that what you mean by that?
I think that puts it well. Thank you, Jennifer. That does describe it.
Right, okay. So what I want to ask you, I mean, your numerology, did you ever have an inkling that you would, from the early days of discovering your own life path, are you living out that life path now?
Oh, yes.
With your numbers?
Oh, yes. Briefly, my matrix, the main numbers, I have a soul of 9, a personality of 9, and an expression of 9, which the number of 9 is about completion, and it's also about service to humanity. So those who are born with that number feel very driven to serve others. Because that comes with a high level of sensitivity, because the completion number means that you're aware of so much going on around you that you can often feel overloaded. And I've learned when I was introduced to numerology and that idea, I began to understand about it and understand more about who I was, and then learned to deal with it in a more positive way rather than just feeling I was in an emotional overload state. And I would be able to recognize that actually a lot of those emotions weren't mine. They were emotions from other people or transfers from other people and illnesses or all sorts of things that people were feeling and I was feeling because they felt it. And,
yeah, interesting.
And I also learned that I have a life path of one, which is about self-expression. It's about being creative in your own way, and it can be about leadership. So a lot of people who have a path of one, they might be running a business or a hospital or a country or whatever. So the ego plays a strong part in the one. It's the one also represents the masculine energy and the driving force, the pushing forward and so on. Whereas if you go to the number two, that represents the feminine energy, which is about being receptive. And so I could talk about numerology for a long time, but...
Yeah, but we're going to talk about other things here today.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to ask you is about your connection with Elaine, your wife.
Yes.
Your lifelong partner.
Some people might use the word twin flame or...
Twin flame.
I've had many, many lifetimes with Elaine.
So she has strongly influenced your healing path, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Was it her who was first doing the sound healing? Or,
yes.
Or is that something that you both have done together?
She was working with energetic healing when I first met her 24 years ago. And she introduced me to the idea of it, and I was quite sceptical to start with because I'd been brought up in a very sort of logical, scientific in a non-quantum sense, household, and also in terms of my education, it was really scientific. And so I started exploring what was going on because I could feel these things, and I wasn't sure about, you know, should I be looking at my feelings as opposed to thinking about things logically. And I could feel things really, I mean, I talked about being emotional earlier. I've always felt a lot. And the more I have allowed these feelings to come through and be my primary guide, the more effective I think in terms of following my life path and understanding what I'm doing here, I've become. So
do you feel you're following your heart more now within your work than you did before? You're following, because emotionally you're being guided, you're following your heart, which is taking you to places which surprise even you, if you don't mean by that.
No, I'm not arrogant enough. I have a life path of one, which makes people think I'm arrogant sometimes, but I'm not really...
I don't mean that was a joke. sorry.
It's all right. My distorted sense of humour.
Connecting into your heart, so that obviously you are following your career direction as it evolves and as it is flowing, rather than looking for scientific and logical explanations.
Yes, it means, well, for me, it meant that instead of looking at the logic of every option, every possibility when given life choices, making decisions, I now almost immediately will be drawn or guided or would follow what feels the most relevant or the most connected choice. It's interesting because I'm talking about numerology. I'm really into statistics. And one of my guidances, if you like, is I'm given different potentials for different outcomes or different decisions. So, I mean, I'm planning a trip to Portugal at the moment, and this Portugal creation has been very strong. And for me, it's 100% potential. It's just going to happen. So if it were only 50%, it would be maybe other people need to come on board, or I'm not purely in focus with it yet. Or so that helps me in feeling which is the right decision. And that tends to come as a sort of the statistic, if you like, comes as a secondary to the way I feel about things first.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I was told by an astrologer once I would only ever know 50%. So if I was to make a decision, I would only ever feel it 50%. And it's like somehow knowing that, even though that might have been actually incorrect, it made me think, well, sometimes we do just have to have the other 50%, which is trust.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
you know, it's better than 40 or 30.
And what does the other 50% relate to anyway? So, you know, it may be nothing to do with you. It might be, as I said just now, other people coming on board. Or.
And I've never actually thought of it like that before. So that, you know, that's something for me to ponder over a little bit here. I want to ask you about the Star Global Family. This is something that you are working in and that you've got involved with over the last few years?
Yes, it is. Over the last 2-3 years, I suppose.
Can you expand on that a little bit more? Tell us what the Global Family is.
Yeah, I can. Let me just give you a little bit of history. I personally have been working with young people, ranging from young kids to young adults, for about 20 years or so, maybe just a bit more. And that was initially with music and opera and then different other art forms to later on to help raise their self-esteem. That was my primary objective initially. And then working with Elaine with the sound developed other potentials for working with youngsters. And we started working with some Dutch people who we are now continuing to work with. And we hold workshops and camps.
Program for youngsters.
Yeah, programs. Yeah, they are programs for youngsters. But these are different from most other programs that you would come across for young people, because they are working with who they are fundamentally at a soul level. So they may come in to this planet with certain gifts, and when they go to school or they have parental or sibling pressures that are no fault of the parents or siblings or teachers, they tend to suppress these gifts because if they're not recognized, they feel unsafe to use them. And so we wanted to create a platform where these gifts are recognized at a fundamental level. The one that we most relate to is telepathy. Lots of kids are born telepathic, and when they realize that others don't telepath with them, they stop using it, because it's like you're born with one language and you find people are speaking another one, so what's the point in speaking it? But if these children young adults do recognize that they are being seen or heard or felt energetically, then they'll start opening up. So we wanted to create a platform where they would feel safe to open to who they really are. And these, in society, these young people get labeled, they get ADD, ADHD, the person that in America, the psychiatrist who created ADHD, admitted a few months before he died, I think in 2012, at the aged 87, he admitted that ADHD was a myth that he'd been asked to create by the medical profession to help raise funds. So that, I mean, that's one example. So those who have Asperger's or who are autistic, they to me are working in a different way energetically from the standard matrix that children are expected to conform to when they are born here.
So partly you think because of the current educational system?
I think, yes, it is to do with education. And I'm not, again, it's not because I blame anybody for being in that educational system. It's the way it is and has been for a long time. And because it's no longer serving these youngsters who are, I feel, evolution in the making. They're born with new set of facilities or gifts. These systems that they work with need to be recognised, and if they are, then they'll use them. And I believe that most of the children on the planet have these potentials when they're born, and most of them suppress them because they can't see any use for them. And to me, that's a pretty frustrating thing for a lot of them. They shut down. If they're really sensitive, they're shut down and they may not even be able to function in society. I mean, I explained about my sensitivity earlier, and I found a way of functioning and being able to conform, but I never felt happy with it. I never felt I was being my true self until
much later on, until adulthood, yeah.
Yeah, well into adulthood.
I can relate to that as well, myself.
Yeah, and I know you have a family as well. And so many people do feel that they want to do something about it, but because it's challenging, especially if you do it from within the systems, you know, all the educational systems across the world, they're not geared towards doing this. A few of them are changing. I had an interesting experience in Denmark a few years ago where I was introduced to an educationalist who created these 14 new schools, and they've become role models for a lot of this type of work and recognition of the way in which children learn, whether they be audio sequential, kinesthetic, or audio visual, or a mixture of those type of systems. So, and recognizing not when they get to sort of middle school, but when they are going into kindergarten, that these are the methods by which they learn, and you have to teach them by the methods that they learn if you want them to excel at whatever they're learning. So if you teach a visual spatial child maths, you have to use symbols and geometry and things that they can relate to. Even teaching my son English, you have to go through, because he's very visual spatial, you have to go through using film or using pictures and then get him interested to want to learn more. You know, he wouldn't read for years and years, and then we got him a Kindle and we related the films that he knew to the books that generally came before the films. And so that was making a bridge to enable his visual spatial learning process to function. He made the choice to leave school because it didn't fit the way in which he learned, and he's really not competitive in terms of pitching himself against others at school, and it just doesn't interest him. So
yeah.
And there are a lot of children who feel like this. It's almost like they become resigned because they can't find a way out. So they're making the most of what they may consider a bad job or a bad lot, and they decide that they're going to be in a survival situation. And I don't believe we come to this planet to survive. We come to excel and to recognise that there are an extraordinary range of potentials for us all. So that's sort of what Star Global Family is about. Yeah, so I was working with this guy from Denmark, and he introduced me to various ideas about education. And the idea of free and inspired learning came through at that stage, and didn't really feel that we could do much with it. And this was Elaine and I initially. And then when a few years later we got together with our friends in Holland, and they've got three boys and we have one son, and they're all gifted children in the way I've been describing. And so we decided that we would find other families who had similar children, and this sort of extended all over the world because
can I just ask you how you went about that, John? How you went about finding the other children?
Well, certainly some of them just sort of turned up energetically, and they would send us an email or find our website and make a connection like that, because energetically that's how it seems to work. You know, you make a presence for someone to make a connection, and it could be through a parent or a teacher, or directly through the young people themselves. You might meet a parent in the street, which has happened to me, and start talking, and then that becomes a connection. I have this phrase that I use a lot, to be curious and expect miracles, and that's what happens to me pretty much all the time with the connections I make, with the circumstances that happen. And even what one might perceive as a negative circumstance at one level, at another it's not, because, you know, you get a puncture in your car and you meet somebody because you're delayed getting somewhere, and that makes the timing right for making a connection.
It's an opportunity. Going in the wrong direction at that point, yeah.
Yes, and the more we embrace that every situation is an opportunity or a gift, then the more we're in the flow of our conscious energy, and the more connected we are to all these multiple potentials that we're giving out energetically to others and they're giving to us all the time. I talked about statistics earlier. I was given a statistic of how we communicate with others, and 2% was given to me as the physical communication, so body language, speech, sound, if you like, and 98% is going on in other dimensions. So that I found that pretty interesting. And
it is.
Also explored what that meant, and I'd read somewhere that one of the people that was channeling something had come across 360 dimensions that they'd been given. And so I've explored that, and others I know have as well. And each of these dimensions has a slightly different vibration or a slightly different energy signature. And it's really fascinating to be able to connect with them and the selves that we have in these other dimensions, who we might call our higher selves or our soul selves. I mean, there are many names. And we may even call them guides or channels of ourselves. I mean, there are many ways of explaining what we perceive as truth and perceptions of what is truth.
And our perceptions of what is truth vary quite a lot, don't they?
Oh, they do, absolutely. You know, and I'm not saying it's any less valid to be a scientist pursuing things from a purely scientific, i.e. empirically based evidence to support the truth that they believe in. For me, my truth has been shown to me, and I was skeptical for a long time. It was shown to me, particularly through one connection I made, how the energy flow works, and I was given a connection with this guide who showed me and allowed me to feel all these different types of energy signatures of different frequencies and different beings and different types of being, and plants and trees, and what the earth feels like and what other planets feel like. I mean, it's endless, the experience. And that has been so valuable, because it now, for me, my reality is how things feel energetically. Of course, there's the physical reality that we live in from day to day, but I feel that I'm much, much more than that, and my awareness is much, much more than that.
you have evidence for yourself of your multi-dimensional existence.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, it's like saying that the door is there to be opened for people, but the person has to choose to open the door. And so what is the person's reality is what they're actually choosing to experience. So there is choice in this. And you could, some people would say, yes, but you're choosing to believe this. And you could say, yes, you're damn right I am choosing to believe it, because your experience of it is your reality, isn't it? It becomes your reality, and vice versa.
Yes.
It's very interesting, because if we're in an energetic universe, we live in an energetic universe, what we choose to experience will be our experience, and what we choose not to experience won't be. It's all about intention, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah,
do you feel that?
I do feel that very much. I'd go a little bit further than that, because I feel that many of us have agreed to do certain things on the planet, and yes, we have free choice. But if we don't follow what we've contracted to do with ourselves, effectively, then we start feeling uncomfortable because we're not on the path that we've chosen. And so that's the only sort of caveat I would put to what we might perceive as free choice. We've made choices. Some of those choices were made in other space, other places, other dimensions, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And if we don't honour those choices we've made with ourselves, then it doesn't feel so comfortable.
But you're forcing through, isn't it? Do you feel sometimes when we force through with a situation, we know we've hit that brick wall, say, 4, 5, 6 times before, but we will still go for it again and try and force through? You know, that's very self-destructive, but...
It's like, you know, looking at half a dozen decisions you can make about a particular choice, and you go for the logical one that adds up, ticks boxes in a physical or in a non-energetic way, and then you make that choice and you're really feeling you're working very hard to make it happen. Whereas if you go for the energetic choice, the one that feels the most comfortable, that is in the flow of your energy, then it'll be a lot easier. And I can't explain that anymore, really. It's just the way it feels.
Would you say then that's when you're following your blueprints? Because I would describe it as that, you know, what you're saying, what you've agreed, what you were designed.
That resonates with me. That feels right to call it a blueprint. Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to explain a bit what's going on in Norway at the moment and how you're working with the children now?
Well, we've just been holding 1 week-long retreat in Norway, and we held one last year as well, but we took 16 of us, so there were 4 sort of non-youngsters, and so 12 youngsters who went to Norway with us, and the idea was to really explore very much who we all are. And also, for those who own this venue, Solsetra, which is about 3 hours, 2.5 hours away from Oslo to the northeast, close to the Swedish border. It's very remote. It's in forest and mountains and lots of snow, fortunately. They hadn't got snow the week before we went. And it just arrived just before we did, so we were rather relieved that there was snow.
Lovely.
And it's really cold. It's like minus 17 or 20 or whatever.
Oh, that's cold. Oh.
But it's really dry with the cold, so you don't feel it like you would if we had that temperature here. Or even minus 3 or 4 in England or Holland is much less comfortable. Anyway, so we explored, we invited these youngsters to come, and many of them, not exclusively all of them, but many of them had previously been to our camps and workshops that we've held in Holland. And so they're not just Dutch nationals, they're from elsewhere. We hold these things in English, and that's obviously a universal language for most people. And so the purity of this, the space in Norway is really beautiful, because it means that you arrive there and you don't feel cluttered. If you're a sensitive, then you don't feel cluttered by all the energies that are around, because there are no people. You might have some bears hibernating about half a mile away, but that's about it. And you might see a moose or a, which we did, or an Arctic fox or something, but there's and a few birds, but it's really quiet and virtually no people.
Yeah.
And those that are at this place, etc., they're all energetically aware and working on a similar state of consciousness, or finding a similar state of consciousness. So it's like our group energy is flowing and merging and connecting together. And that means that we can make sound, we can work on... I mentioned sound because it's a really powerful way of going beyond words, in clearing things, in releasing. But more these days, we don't tend to do much clearing or releasing. It's more that we merge into a group consciousness, and then different aspects of every individual come forward, slightly present themselves so that they can integrate with that individual to enable them in their physical expression of them being on the earth, can be more effective. And so that's pretty much what it's about. It's having an experience of allowing these gifts to come forward more, and so the young people feel safe to bring them forward themselves, or it works that we bring them forward for each other as well, because it's not just the youngsters, it works with people of any age, really. And
I expect there's new learning in it for the adults as well as the young
every moment, Jennifer, that's absolutely true.
I should imagine it's also very inspiring and confidence building for the young people.
It is. I mean, we had one youngster who came to Norway who was really not very confident before, and was having really strong multidimensional awareness about, you know, in a really powerful quantum way. And he'd been given connections with medical authorities, and they were causing him a real challenge, because they didn't recognize. They just wanted to put him in a box, not literally, but in, figuratively in a box. And it wasn't comfortable. And so we were able to explore in this safe group that recognizes that we all have these different gifts and abilities, to see what could come forward, and the expansion and the recognition and the self-confidence that came out of it was just, well, awe-inspiring.
So where can people learn more about your work, John? Do you want to give your links? I can certainly link the YouTube and put your links on the radio show, but is there any, you know,
well,
do you
the website is www.starglobalfamily.com, so that's fairly straightforward. Belt as it sounds, in one word. And that's probably the easiest one. My email address is john@vonneuding.net, which again is relatively straightforward, but it's John and at and vonneuding.net. And if anybody wants to know any more about this, they have children that they feel need support in what they've come to do on the planet, or they might have awareness of other dimensions or other beings. And we used to, well, when I was young, I had imaginary friends, as many of us did, and I was told they were just imaginary and that was it, and now I know different. And so I would say that if if that type of scenario is presenting itself, allow the children to come forward and explore what it is. And if someone feels that we can help, either a child or an adult feels we can help, then please get in touch.
Right, that's absolutely fantastic. So we're going to be giving your details out. It's very, very interesting, especially for me, because I was a dyslexic child. I think visually I see things. My way of learning was so different to other people that I could actually visualise a lot of words,
yes.
Have problems with spelling, have problems with reading. And my artistic gifts and things like that I had were not recognised.
There are many ways of finding out who you are and what your purpose is, and it's really, well, I think fascinating to be able, and I feel very privileged to be able to support what I call making the rainbow bridge, which is bridging my generation and other generations with young people, because we have a tremendous amount to learn from them. If only we'd open our hearts and eyes and selves to their potential and our potentials.
That's fantastic. Thank you, John. That's terrific. Thank you for being on Natural Co-Creators today. And have a wonderful, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Jennifer.